important relationships are in our life. You are born into this world out of a relationship and into a relationship. And then when you become a Christian, you're born out of a relationship and into a relationship. Christianity is a relationship. And we've been talking about how important relationships are to our life and also how challenging relationships can be. And today we want to talk about some of those challenges. And one of those challenges is communication in relationships, having good communication. And we've got a little video that we want to show you, kind of a humorous, insightful look at how challenging communication in relationships can be and what can happen if the communication breaks down. Let's go ahead and roll that video.
I messed up. So I told her, you got a mirror, you can see what you look like in those jeans. So anyway, I don't know what to do.
You just talk to her.
And tell her what?
You tell her how you feel.
I did. I told her, I feel like you look like your mother.
Okay, no, you need to use your words. You know, romantic words.
Oh. Wait, what?
Okay, honey, you take your wife by her hands and you just pour into her.
Wait. Am I holding her hands or am I pouring something? I can't do both.
What? No. Todd, you are going to pour words into your wife. You look her in the eyes, dead set, and you just let go. Because that's what she does to you, Todd. She makes you let go. And you say to her, you mean everything to me. And I would let go of everything if it means that I just get to hold you for the rest of my life. That's what you do. What are you doing?
I'm calling my wife, and you are going to tell me some pretty words to say to her.
We are not doing this.
Hey, babe. No, don't hang up. Don't hang up. I was an idiot, and I know you said some things too. You shouldn't have.
You don't say that.
That's not what I meant. I meant I have some things to say to you right now.
No.
While we're on the phone.
Stop it.
Just listen. She said, I have 2 minutes.
What do I say? I'm sorry. For what? Don't you tell her that.
I'm sorry. Babe?
She's still there. I can hear her breathing. Tell her I love you and you mean everything to me and I am a fool because I don't tell you that more often.
I'm a fool for loving you. And I should say that stuff more often.
You were the only reason I am half the man I am. Your love and constant support is my daily breath.
I'm half the man I am because of you. And your love is a constraint.
Constant support.
No, your love is constantly on my breath. Daily.
You are the greatest blessing God has ever given me, and you are perfect for me.
Babe, you're the best thing God ever did for me. You're perfect. For me, you're perfect. You're not perfect.
What are you doing? Just tell me what to say. Sunsets are more beautiful when you are on the horizon.
You're more beautiful at sunset on the horizon. It totally worked. Babe, I'm gone in 60 seconds.
What a moron.
You were great.
I know, right?
The words you said, I heard. I had no idea.
Seriously? You had no idea that some women fall for that stuff? I'm just glad you're not that gullible. By the way, what's for dinner? I've messed up.
Use your words, my friend. Use those words.
Communication can be challenging. Today I want to talk about getting along. One guy famously said once, can't we all just get along? Have you ever wondered why can't we all just get along? Why is it so hard sometimes? Life is relational. It's all about relationships. It's one of the greatest joys in life. It's also one of the greatest challenges in life. Life is just a series of relationships, and relationships require communication. And communication and relationship means there's a lot of opportunities for misunderstandings, offenses. Anybody ever been offended? And you know, the fact is you will be offended. You can just write it down. It's not if you'll be offended, it's just when and where and how. When you come in any kind of relationship, in your home, in a marriage, things will be said, you will be offended. In church, things will happen, things will be said, you will be offended. At work, any interpersonal dynamic relationship, offenses will happen. The Bible says that offenses will come, and it talks about not trying to live a life where we live to where we can never be offended. That is a possibility. It's like living on an island. You never see anybody. And the Bible warns about that because it says he puts us in families on purpose. But the deal is learning how to deal with offenses when they come. And just saying, okay, I will be offended, probably today, maybe tomorrow, certainly this week, something will happen where you have an opportunity to be offended, but it's how we respond to those opportunities, how we deal with offenses. And I gave you, there's a few things that we've been using, tools, in the last 3 weeks of relationships. I gave you the 7 habits of healthy people. There's extra copies if you didn't get one of those. Talks about relationships. Last week we did a fill-in-the-blank. But number 6 of 7 habits of healthy people worldwide is to develop life-giving relationships by dealing with hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur. So, you know, to navigate the treacherous waters of life and the treacherous waters of relationship, we have to develop a system within ourselves of dealing with hurts, wounds, and disappointments as they occur, and when to deal with those, what offenses just to kind of let go by. You know, sometimes, I mean, if somebody cuts you off in traffic, it doesn't mean you need to follow them home and talk to them and straighten them out. I mean, there's some offenses that you just kind of, you know, in your walk with the Lord, that you just pray a prayer and you bless them and you let it go. There's some offenses you just let them go, right? There's other offenses because of the type of the relationship and the fact that you're going to have an ongoing relationship. They have to be brought to the forefront. But it's how do we do that? In what way? In what time? What is my attitude? And going before the Lord and saying, Lord, test my heart. Show me what I'm supposed to learn out of this. And how do I keep this relationship going and keep it successful? Well, relationships take a lot of work. They're not easy. They don't just happen, you know, perfectly and everything just works out, just like those two couples there. They had some difficulties, some challenges. You know, even if God speaks to you audibly and tells you to marry this person and he speaks to them and gives them a vision and you know for sure and certain those, you know, God put this marriage together, it doesn't mean that from that day that, you know, you have that kiss on that altar and the minister pronounces you husband and wife. It doesn't mean from then on you're going to float through life on flowery beds of ease without any challenges. No, but the challenges start right then and there. Reality begins to happen. And how we deal with the challenges of relationships determines our happiness in life. You can't avoid relationships. You have to learn successful ways of communicating, when to communicate, when not to communicate, what to communicate. So relationships are a setup for misunderstandings, offenses, miscommunications, a lack of communication, too much communication, conflicts of desires, conflicts of expectations, disappointments, bad character traits will be exposed in relationships. The closer the relationship, the more intense the revelation of things within us. And that's the attitude if we're going to grow through relationships and accomplish what God wants to accomplish in us through relationships, it will require us taking a hard, serious look at ourselves and to quit just blaming everybody else for the revelation of character traits that are showing up in my life that I don't like. Amen? I mean, if some situation in life makes you cuss, you can blame it on all these people and think the whole, but where did it come from? It came up out of me, right? And if we're wise in relationships, we'll say God is using these relationships to reveal something in me that does not conform to his image that I now have an opportunity to address and change. Instead of blaming everybody else, trying to straighten out the whole world, make everybody a perfect driver, every employer, every employee, just act perfectly. Ain't going to happen, right? Because I'm not there either. So we're just a big work in progress, aren't we? And as we're on this journey, we're going to step on each other's toes and say words, have words out of our mouth that aren't right, that aren't proper, that offend people. The key for every one of us is to understand it is revealing in me opportunities for me to change me, to become more like Christ. And that's the first step in growing in relationships, is to quit trying to get everybody else perfect so I never have to deal with my weaknesses. Because if everybody was perfect like God, hey, it'd be all right. It's good to know you got God in your corner. He loves you despite your weaknesses. But other people are very aware of your weaknesses, and we're very aware of their weaknesses. What we need to do is just use it as an opportunity to grow and realize God will never ask us to change more than we can change. He will never give us a greater challenge in life than we can handle. He will never give us a temptation that we cannot deny and overcome. If we use the strength and the grace and the power and the tools that he's given us, we can be successful in this journey of life of becoming more like him and use relationships to grow. Bad character traits will be amplified and exposed through relationships. Marriage is just a divine setup for hurt feelings, disappointments, missed expectations, and the revelation of things on the inside. You know what? I think that's just what God designed marriage for. I think it was Martin Luther, I think it was attributed to. He said something to this effect. What if God designed marriage not to make us happy, but to make us holy? What if that was his original design, and we come into marriage thinking, hey, this is going to make me happy, and I've got the men have their plan, the women have their plan, how it's going to make them happy, and God's got another plan. Marriage is a divine setup for the revelation of weaknesses in our life. Men come into marriage expecting their wife, in general, I know some of you, you know, you're just perfect. You didn't go into marriage expecting this. But in general, men go into marriage expecting their wife to worship them as much as they worship themselves. And all the women see they're going, amen. But I got one. The women come into marriage expecting their husbands to worship them in a way that they envisioned from childhood. They had this thing set up. I'm going to be worshiped in this way. They both come into the marriage with these unreal expectations. Ain't going to happen. It just is not going to happen. They're unreal expectations that have you at the center. And God's design is for both of them to die to their own plan for the marriage. John Hagee posted something on Facebook a couple weeks ago. He said, sometimes you have to die to your own dreams in order to find God's plan, in order to fulfill God's plan. Sometimes we have dreams and plans that are different from God's dreams and plans. So in marriage, God's design for both individuals is to die. Maybe we don't explain that in the premarital counseling. I think we do. But, you know, if you've been around Christianity for a while, before you get married, you probably have a concept of this. That marriage isn't what the world says, oh, it's just all about me, that I will be elevated and I'll be at the center. It's really about dying. And the whole dynamics of marriage bring us to that reality day by day. The Bible has a couple of admonitions about marriage. It says to the husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for it. That's pretty heavy duty. What? How much did Jesus love the church? He allowed the Roman soldiers to pluck out his beard, put a crown of thorns in his head, beat him to a pulp, open his back, and nail him to a tree. Pretty serious stuff. And then God gives a challenge to the women in the same passage. He says, wives, respect your husbands. Somehow that seems to be quite a challenge. Maybe during the engagement time, that's easy to have that respect. But a couple days after the wedding ceremony, some revelations come to light in weeks and months and years. It seems to be more and more challenging for husbands to continue to be willing to lay down their lives and wives to continue to respect this person who now isn't that, you know, knight on a white horse in shining armor that they envisioned from childhood watching the fairy tales. Reality begins to set in for both parties. This is not what I thought it was. Yeah, it's a divine setup. It's God revealing in each of us, putting up in this pressure cooker to cause us to become more like Christ. And until we realize that, marriage will be a very trying, testing circumstance. But marriage is just one relationship possibility. All of life is about relationships and getting along, and getting along sometimes can be very difficult, isn't it? If you have people in your life that are having hard times in their life, probably 90% of it relates to some type of relationship or lack of relationship. God gives us relationships to help us grow. Go with me, if you would, in your Bible to Psalm 68, verse 6. This is God's plan. Sometimes we as individuals, we have our own plan. You know, Jesus said, I'm going to build my church. He describes the church in the New Testament as this interconnectivity. He uses a body and the body parts. And we all know parts don't function by themselves. I can't take this finger and separate it and think it's going to function very well, right? Every part in the body needs other parts of the body. And that's the way God describes us as a church, interconnectivity. And this verse here in Psalm 68 talks about this. It says, God sets the solitary in families. Sometimes we try to disconnect ourselves. We've been hurt. We've been wounded in relationships. How many people do you know? Maybe you're there today and said, you know, well, that's, you know, I love God, but I'm not going to church. I've been hurt. I've been wounded. It's full of hypocrites. It's this or that. You know, I'll never get married because I saw this bad relationship. I'll never be in, you know, an intense relationship with anybody. You know, and you develop defenses. You put up walls. You know, you never let anybody get near you. Whatever the level of relationship, we often respond most of the time in the wrong way to problems in the past with relationships. We give up on the whole concept of relationships, whereas God says, it's a divine setup. He said he sets the solitary in families. You know, if we're sensitive to the Holy Spirit, he's going to be continually trying to put us back into relationship and learning how to use those relationships to grow. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. How many like prosperity? That means increase. He wants to in every area of life. You want to prosper in your body. You want to prosper in your mind, in your soul, in your finances, in your relationships. He brings out those who are bound into prosperity. But the rebellious dwell in a dry land. What does that mean? That if we rebel against God's attempt to put us in families, we will dwell in a dry land. And yeah, you can be saved and you can go to heaven, but we'll never achieve the greatness that God desires for our life, the success, if we don't continue to deal with the challenges of relationships. You can run from the relationship, or you can say, you know what? This is an opportunity for me to change me. I can change me, and that's what I'm going to work on. You know what? We can get along with ourselves just fine, right? It's other people we can't get along with. I mean, we all have this idea, I drive just fine. It's everybody else that doesn't know how to drive. Like one guy said, if you don't like the way I drive, just get off the sidewalk. We think, I'm a good friend. It's everybody else that's got the problem, right? I'm the loyal, faithful, good friend. It's the other people. We actually have a lot of patience and understanding with our own faults, but not that much with others. We judge ourselves by our good intentions and others by their actions. God gives us relationships to help us grow and to cause us to see our own frailty, to be aware of our own weaknesses, and to know what I have to work on. God's using people in your life right now to shine a light on an area of your life that he wants to work on. Right now in your life, this past week, there are people that maybe you may be praying they get out of your life forever, that God has ordained for them to come into our lives to expose things in our lives that need to change, that for us to grow, to see it. We went to Disney on Tuesday, went down there, and we were coming back, and they had a sign on the side of the road that said, "Men at Work." You ever seen those signs? There ought to be a sign on our back, big, one of those big orange signs that says, "God at Work." Because that's the way it is. It's always there. God is always at work. Aren't you glad he hasn't given up on you? He's working on you. And the truth is, it often takes pain to get us to change. Sometimes the pain of where we are must exceed the pain of change before we can grow. In other words, to grow will take pain. It will take sacrifice. It will cost us something. And we're often not willing to pay that price, so we stay where we are. And God sees that he doesn't want us to stay where we are, so he begins to inflict pain upon us where we are until where the pain of where we are is greater than the pain of making the change, so we go ahead and make the change and grow. Does that make sense? God puts us in a church family to give us people who will love us even while we are working on our weaknesses. Praise God. I'm so glad about that. That church is a family where we take care of our wounded. We don't shoot our wounded. We understand that every one of us is on a journey, and we can have mercy with each other, because I want mercy for myself. As the pastor, I still want mercy when, you know, on the things that I'm working on. I've got issues. And guess what? You got issues. And if you don't think you got issues, guess what? That's your issue. I've got issues. You got issues. Say it with me. All God's children got issues. And we have to give each other slack, give each other grace, give each other room, because I'm working on my issues, all right? And maybe God's put you in my life to help me see some of those, but not to kick me to the curb and beat me up. I'm so thankful God doesn't do that ever to us. He's patient with us. Should we not be patient with each other while we're dealing with our issues? But let's start by saying, I've got issues, and I'm working on them. Be patient with me. I'm dealing with them. Cut me some slack. We've all been wounded, and we know what hurt people do. Hurt people, because this is the default setting. You can look back. I can look back on my dad and say, he was a great father, but there were things in his life. Why did he act like that? Well, look back. He never knew his father. He grew up in the Depression, the third youngest of 12 children, started working in the coal mines when he was 5 years old. You can look back and see how people develop their method of operation and how they pass that on to you. And you can have a little grace, can't you? And you can say, okay, he did the best that he could with what he had. He never knew a loving father. All he knew was working hard, and that's the way he passed on to me. And even though he was a great father, there were aspects of his relationship with me that I wish were different. But you can have some grace when you begin to understand, okay, and now just forgive him for the things that he never did, the things that he never said. He never, ever once was able to say, I'm proud of you. In fact, one time after my mother died, a friend of his, Gene, they came to a service. We were having in Westwood Middle School. And Jean told me afterwards, she says, I told your dad, she said, aren't you so proud of Bill? Look what he's doing. He said, nah, but he doesn't work. And his, if you don't work in the coal mine or dig ditches, he couldn't say, yeah, I'm proud. But I can't get offended by that. My dad's gone now. He's in heaven. I've been thinking about him this week. I'm so looking forward to seeing him in heaven. And we have a mutual understanding. We won't have all the weaknesses of this flesh and all the baggage and all the bondage and all the junk that we had to work through day to day in this life. We'll just have the mind of Christ, and we'll be able to fellowship together and rejoice in the time that we had together. I'm looking forward to that time. Amen. I'm not going to spend the rest of my life wishing he had said this or done that. I understand where he came from. He did the best he could with what he had. And I'm going to try to do the best I can with what I have and not go through the rest of my life wishing he had said this or done that, but just take that as a learning experience for me. How can I do better in my relationships today and growing? Church is a family where we take care of each other. We understand we're on a journey. We understand we've been beat up by this world. We understand that we all have issues, and we're working on those issues. That's God, all God expects. I need some godly people in my life who will love me in spite of my faults. How about you? Amen. God gives us relationships to grow. Gives us relationships to see my own weaknesses. He gives us relationships to make us holy, to make us more like him. Relationships, if we stay in them, will make us more like Christ if we just don't quit. Somebody told me just when I started in the kingdom of God, he said, you know, you'll make it if you just don't quit. If you just don't quit, it'll be all right. I found that to be true. If you just hang in there in any aspect in relationships, if you just don't quit, if we give up on relationships, you'll dwell in a dry land. Yes, growing is painful. John 12:24, Jesus said this to his disciples. He said, truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains what? By itself. Alone. Yes, relationships are going to be painful. But the thing is, it comes back to us and say, okay, I got to die to some things. I got to die to the desire to always be right and always be on top and, you know, always be this or always be that. So I have to die to some things. Unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it will remain itself alone. Yeah, you don't want to deal with the pain of relationships. You can go on an island by yourself, live alone, seclude yourself, you know, pull yourself away, but you'll remain alone. But if it dies, it will bear much fruit. And isn't that our goal in life, to bear much fruit for God? And he's using the relationships, the people, the circumstances you're in today to cause us to grow. Relationships bring us continually to a place of death to self. God is at work in you. And I want you to know he's doing a good work in you. That's the good news that I've got for you today. He's doing a good work. Philippians 1:6 says this. He says, Paul says, I'm confident of this very thing. He who began a good work in you. Yeah. He who began a good work in you will perfect it. He's begun a good work in you. I could go around and name every one of you individually. He began a good work in you, and he hasn't quit. He won't stop. He will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Isn't that good news? That he hasn't given up on me. Yeah, just think that about yourself. God began a good work in me when? I don't know, maybe it was yesterday, a week, 10 years, 30, 40, 50 years. Maybe he's been working on you for 50, 60, 70 years, and he's not done. Oh, that's some good news. He's not going to quit until he perfects it, and he's perfecting it little by little, more and more, day by day. God will never, ever, ever, ever give up on you. Amen. Maybe people have given up on you. Maybe people have kicked you to the curb and said you're not going to make it, but God will never do that. I just know God's going to do something awesome in your life this year. I really believe that, and through your life. And I know, according to the Bible, that God has a plan for your life, a purpose and a focus, things for you to do. You're designed to be part of a team that's making a difference. That's what, today, after the service, we're going to have lunch, and we're going to have Dream Team 401, part of Growth Track, and we're going to help you connect with your eternal purpose and destiny. And it's all about relationships, working with a team, doing something. Dream team. We want to connect you to a dream team. You know, if you're here, you might be the first time today. Well, I invite you to stay. We're going to have lunch. We're going to talk about being connected, being used, taking your gifts, your talents, your abilities, your passion, finding the intersection of those and putting them into work someplace, being part of a team that's making a difference. I know God has a plan for you and that he believes in you. And you know what? God has faith in you. It's great to have faith in God, but think about this. He has faith in you. Amen. He sees good things in your future. Yeah. He's committed to you. I love that. Jesus, the Father, the Holy Spirit, they're committed. Aren't you glad to have people that are committed to you in your life? You have some people, just a small group of people that no matter what you do, they'll always be committed to you. Well, God is always committed to you. That's awesome. Hebrews 13:5 says this. He himself has said, this is Bible scripture verse right here. Man, you can take it to the bank, write it on your heart. He himself has said, I will never desert you, nor will I ever forsake you. People will desert you. People will not put up with your weaknesses. People at times will just say mean things, hard things, harsh things, because they don't understand, because they're hurt. God will never do that. Oh, man, that is so awesome about God. As we were singing those songs this morning, worshiping God, every word was true, talking about how great he is. He's even greater than that. 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we are faithless, have you ever had times in your life when, man, your faith wasn't what it ought to be? Maybe you had doubts. You know what? It doesn't affect God and his attitude toward you. It says, if we're faithless, he remains faithful. Praise God. He cannot deny himself. No matter what we go through, he's committed to you. He loves you. He's for you. He's never against you. He's committed to you for the long haul. He is committed to this most important relationship. Remember week one, we said the most important relationship, the foundation of all relationships, is our relationship with God. And that's one thing to remember. We mess up, but doesn't affect God's love for us, his commitment to us, our ability to run to the throne of God. Never run away from God. Always run to God. The stuff we do, it doesn't freak him out. He's seen it all, and he still loves us. He is committed to you for the long haul. He is committed to this relationship that he has with you. He is not, newsflash, he is not, and this will help a lot of people, he's not going to dump you. You ever been dumped? You ever been dumped out of a relationship? You ever come to a point and the person said, you know what? I'm not dealing with you anymore. I'm not talking to you anymore. I don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. People will do that. God will never dump you. He'll never give up on you. He'll never deny you. He'll never push you away. You've never done anything so bad you can't do it. His love is always there. He doesn't have love. He is love. He can't change himself. It's his character. It's always mercy and forgiveness and compassion and reaching out to you. He will never dump you. He's going to keep you. When I used to go fishing with my Uncle Herman down in the Everglades there south of Homestead, and I was a little kid, and we'd catch a fish, and I'd say, are we keeping that one? He'd go, that's a keeper. Some of them were keepers, and some of them you throw back. And I didn't know the difference when I was little. I like when he said, that's a keeper. Well, I want you to know, and God looks at you, he says, that's a keeper right there. That's a keeper. I'm keeping you for the long haul. You're a keeper. Just think about that every morning. You get up and say, I'm a keeper. He's got my picture on his refrigerator. He's got my picture in his wallet. He's got a bumper sticker on the back of his chariot. He's proud of you that you're an overcomer. He's madly in love with you. Your problems in life are not random. They've been designed by God to make you stronger, to make you a better person, the person you always wanted to be, the person that you want others to be to you. He's trying to get you to be to others. He's making you into that person, that ideal person that you'd like to have a relationship with. He's trying to make you into that person. And I want you to know you're going to make it because God's committed to your success if you don't quit. So I have a challenge for you. For the next 30 days, I want you to think of somebody in your life. If you're married, it could be your spouse or somebody that you may be having a challenge in your relationship. And for the next 30 days, think about treating them the way that you would like to be treated in a similar relationship. And just make 30-day challenge to yourself. Just come whatever may, I'm going to act this way in this relationship for 30 days and see if it makes a difference in that relationship. I clipped an article out of the Gainesville Sun a week or two ago. I think it was the week of Valentine's Days, by Dr. Barton Goldsmith. He's a psychotherapist in California. And this article is very interesting. I don't know if you're ready. You can pull it up online. I thought it was very insightful. Do you know anything that works really just mirrors biblical truth? And what it says in this article is your partner is not responsible for your mood. I'm just going to read the first paragraph. It says, learning that you need to take personal responsibility for your own moods can be a relationship saver. It's especially important to avoid inflicting a bad mood onto your partner. What's known in psychotherapy as negative projection can make someone you love doubt themselves in their relationship with you, because you project, you make them responsible for your bad mood. So I want to say, next 30 days, why don't you be responsible for your own mood in that relationship and project on them, treat them the way you always wanted to be treated in a relationship. Don't blame others for your bad mood. It's just God is trying to help us to be the captain of our own soul and to walk in faith and to walk in hope and to walk in joy and not to be tossed to and fro by everything that happens in our life, but just to be steady and stable and act the same, have the same faith, the same patience, the same courage, no matter what kind of storm comes, as if it's a calm day, if it's a windy day, if it's a rainy day, a snowy day, or a hurricane. And that's what God's trying to get us, where our mood is determined by our relationship with God, and that doesn't change. Relationships are designed by God to bless us, to perfect us, and to prepare us for heaven, where we'll have a relationship with our Heavenly Father forever. On your seat was a handout, 6 relationship questions. If you don't have it in your hand, it's probably stuck to your backside. You might reach to sit up a little bit and pull it out there. And so I just would like you, we're not going to go over these in detail right now, but just kind of meditate on these. You know, these are designed to help you in your relationships. Just meditate on these. And we talked about this the first week. Is my relationship with God my top priority in life? Number 2, have I addressed my hurts, wounds, and disappointments of the past? Number 3, do I address current hurts, wounds, and disappointments in a healthy way? You know, if you need help with these, some of these, you say, you know what? You know, we have the pastoral staff. We have people here to help you. Small groups can help you. Maybe your dream team leader. Am I pursuing good relationships now? Are there any relationships in my life that are unhealthy? We talked about that a lot last week, right? Cutting off bad relationships. And are there people that I need to go to and ask forgiveness for hurts, wounds that I've caused in relationships? So hopefully you can use this in the coming week. Hopefully this series on relationships has been a benefit to you. Did anybody get anything out of this series at all? Well, praise God. Let's have a word of prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are a relational God. Jesus, we thank you that you taught us to pray, our Father. The first 2 words are about a relationship, Lord. And you know, we know that you've made us dependent on relationships, desirous of relationships. You birthed us into relationships. Help us, Lord, as individuals to do better in our relationships, Lord. Help us to deal with the relationships of the past that have caused us grief and pain. Show us what we're supposed to do about those. And the relationships today, show us how to have a good attitude, a right attitude, a healthy attitude in the relationships that we believe that you have orchestrated into our lives to cause us to see the things on the inside of us that need to change. And we are so glad, Lord, that you are a God of considerable changing power. You are able to change us. Lord, we are not overwhelmed by the things that we see in our own life that need to change. We are encouraged that because we see them, we know that you have provided the grace and the ability for us to be strong in that area. Thank you, Lord. Like you told Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. And Lord, we just think that about our own lives. Your grace is sufficient for me. Whatever I'm facing today in this world, just think about that. God's grace is sufficient for me. The relationship challenges that you have, just think, God's grace is sufficient for me. The mountains that you face in life today, God's grace is sufficient for me. If God is on my side, that's all I need. If God be for me, who can be against me? And I say to myself, everyone say to yourself, God is for me. God is on my side. God is with me. I'm going to make it. I'm an overcomer. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. God is on your side. 1 + God makes a majority. He's with you. He's in you. He's for you. He'll never leave you or forsake you. He'll never dump you. He'll never drop you. He's with you. He's in you. He's for you. Thank you, Lord. We go out of here today in that strength, knowing we've got you on the inside of us, and that's all we need. Thank you, Jesus. And I got a very important question for everybody here today, and that is this. If you died right now, would you go to heaven? You might be here today. You say, I don't know. I think so. I hope so. I'm not sure. Does anybody know? Wow, that's a pretty important consequence to not be sure about. You might be here and say, well, Does anybody know? Yeah, the Bible says, I've written to you, little children, that you may know that you have eternal life. How do you get eternal life? Someone asked Jesus that question. Here's what he said. He said, you have to be born again. That means there comes a time in your life when you surrender your life to Christ. It's that simple. It's just that simple. You ask him to forgive your sins. He comes, he lives on the inside of you. He makes you into a new person. If you've never done that, or you're not sure if you've ever done that, that's why you're here today. But you might be here today and you say, you know, Pastor, I did that in the past, but today I'm really not where I want to be with God. And I want to make a fresh start. I want to start all over. And every head bowed and every eye closed, and I'm not going to ask you to come up front, but right where you're seated, if today is a new day and you want to make a fresh start with God, or you want to commit your life to God, just slip up your hand real quick while you're at. Thank you. Anybody else? Today, fresh start. Anybody else? I'm going to lead you in a prayer. Everybody pray this prayer with them. Dear Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. I believe God raised you from the dead. I'm a sinner. I need a Savior. I can't save myself. Dear Jesus, please forgive all my sins. Come live on the inside of me. Make me into a new person. Wherever you lead me, I'll follow. From this day, forevermore. Right now, I'm born again. I'm saved. I'm a Christian. I'm going to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. Jesus is my Lord. Give the Lord praise. People prayed that prayer. It meant business with God. That's awesome. Well, listen, I hope you're going to stay.